Consumers are shopping early for deals this holiday season. That's why you need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3 at checkout.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We have a lot of sound from Sam Bankman-Fried about his humbling failing involving FTX. I guess it's very humbling when you lose other people's money. It's something that we've learned now. And we will get to some of this sound because it's amazing to me how he's being treated very similarly to Joe Biden. Not a lot of tough questions, you know, very, very kind phrasing. And he's not getting the same kind of heat that, for example, Elon Musk is receiving at all times.
Grace, he wishes it didn't happen. What more do you need to hear from him?
He really feels bad. His response to this, Jared, is like if I ate your lunch from the refrigerator and you were mad at me and I said, Jared, I'm sorry. I had a really bad day. I really feel bad about it. That's the level of concern I get.
This isn't easy on me either, you know.
You think I wanted to eat it? You think that that's what I had planned for myself? Okay, try to walk a mile in my shoes when I saw your sandwich sitting there and I decided to go for it. But yeah, he really doesn't seem like he's all that torn up. You know, I have a feeling, you know, it'd be a good way to figure out if he's torn up. Has he given up playing the video games? Because when we had Miranda Devine on, if you missed that interview, go way, way back and find it at gracecurlyshow.com and re-listen to that podcast because she gave a real wholesome description of this man who plays video games constantly and doesn't look people in the eye. Always a good sign that you want to invest your money with someone if they refuse to look you in the eye. And in fact, if you're in the same room as them and they can't talk to you face to face, but you have to Zoom in to talk to them while in the same room. That's when I open up my wallet and say, you seem like someone I can really trust. Anyway, though, I remember where I was going with this now. I got so sidetracked. My question is, has he stopped playing video games? Because if he's this humbled and shocked and sorry, then maybe he's taken some time to reflect. And maybe he's not just on the little headset with the gaming thing all the time.
Or what if that's his therapy, though? You know, like some people read, some people have coloring books. I'm sure that's his therapy, is doing exactly what he did before without consequence.
You know what I think's happening to you, Jared? You are spending too much time with these stories. And you know, it's great to be able to think like a liberal. And that's why I love having you as a producer. I think you're very good at that. But it's getting to the line of, oh no, is he playing the role too well? Has this method acting gone too far? But yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that will be the excuse. I think he's still in the Bahamas, though. So that's good. At least he's still enjoying the warm weather.
I don't know. He was in the room with Stephanopoulos.
He was.
I don't know if they would fly Steffi down to the Bahamas just for that.
Okay, so he's back. I had got kind of mixed signals that he had come back, and then I saw an interview where he was saying, I'm not hiding out here. I've always been in the Bahamas. We'll get to all of this. But what I really want to start the 2 o'clock hour with is a cut that I saw yesterday. It was with Nicole Wallace. No, I was not watching MSNBC. Please have a little faith in me. I saw this on Twitter. Nicole Wallace was interviewing Dr. Ashish Jha. And there was a conversation that a lot of us had as the COVID vaccine started to roll out. And as people were rolling out these vaccines, almost immediately the jump was, okay, now we have to have vaccine passports. And understandably, some people in this country and in other places in the world thought, showing papers to be able to get to certain places or to move around doesn't really bode well. And if you look back in history, doesn't have a great track record.
Your papers, please.
But other people didn't see any problem with this. And in fact, they were so on board with you know, having to go to a Shake Shack and show your passport, I got vaccinated. Now, a question that a lot of us had at the time was, okay, well, now that we're rolling out boosters, is the vaccine passport going to be enough? Where does it end? Do you now have to update your passport with a stamp that shows that you got boosted? Does your passport lose its oomph if you're not keeping up with the vaccines?
Yeah, what does fully vaccinated mean at that point, which was the term?
Right, and now we have a new term. And this is the first, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm behind the eight ball on this, maybe I've taken my finger off the pulse of the COVID vernacular, but I think this is the first I've heard of this.
I have not heard this before.
And it's, in its own way, it's kind of brilliant, you know, that they're rolling this out now. So this is Dr. Ashish Jha. See if you can catch the new terminology here. This is Cut 20.
Cited the Washington Post reporting that of the 300 people a day that are dying, they are largely unvaccinated. Is that still the case?
Yeah, what we have right now is people who are largely under-vaccinated. So let me explain what I mean by that. If you're a 75-year-old who got two shots last April...
Hold on, Ashish. Hold on, doctor. I'm going to explain to people what you mean by that. Okay? I'm going to explain it to my listeners who deserve to know the truth. Here's the truth. The truth is that at one point, doctors like Ashish Jha and Dr. Fauci and the rest of the experts told you that if you got boosted, and everyone can say it with me now, if you're in your car, if you're having lunch, if you're at the office, if you're prepping dinner for tonight, you can all say it with me right now. You were told that if you got boosted, you would not get the coronavirus.
A fully vaccinated booster person is the most protected against COVID.
And it makes sense that they would tell you that and that other people would believe that because that is what a vaccine is supposed to do. But we've since come to find out that that is not the case. But when we thought it was the case, when Joe Biden and the Ministry of Truth and everyone else was telling you that if you got vaccinated, you had nothing to worry about. In fact, at one point, Joe even told us we could take off our masks. That's how confident he was in this vaccine. When that was the case, we were told that people who were dying weren't vaccinated. It was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And not only was it a pandemic of the unvaccinated, but the unvaccinated were to blame when the vaccinated got sick. How that one worked, I can't even explain that. I'm not going to be able to translate that one for you. My skill set only goes so far. But now that that narrative has run its course and no one believes that anymore and it's been debunked, to use a favorite term of the left, now that they can't say, oh, if you're fully boosted, I'm sorry, if you're fully vaccinated, you won't get COVID or you won't die from COVID. Now they have to say, well, people who are dying, they can't say people who are dying are unvaccinated because that's a lie. That's not true. Not all the people who are dying from COVID are unvaccinated. So instead, they have to say people who are dying from COVID are under-vaccinated.
Under-vaccinated. So let me.
And they don't think we're going to notice the sudden shift. But I noticed it. I think a lot of the listeners would notice it. And I want to play another cut because Ashish is then asked about Twitter. Because this is what all the doctors are worried about. You know, they're worried about accurate information on Twitter. They weren't worried about that when people were tweeting about 15 days to slow the spread, or when people were tweeting about how masks work, they don't, or when people were tweeting about contact tracing and plexiglass and the COVID vaccine efficacy. All of that disinformation was okay. But now that real information might get out there, doctors like Dr. Ashish Jha are very concerned. So concerned that they want to talk to Nicole Wallace about the seriousness of this matter. Cut 21.
I mean, listen, this is not my space. I don't know what these people are like, but it seems so childish to destroy something that a lot of people care a lot about. And the danger is real. I mean, the Washington Post had some incredible reporting about the number of people dying of COVID.
Right there. I got to stop her. The Washington Post had some incredible reporting. Challenge. I would like to challenge you. And also, what is that condescension? I don't know what these people are like. Who is she talking about? Elon Musk? Right, the people who work at the New York Post, who is she referring to?
I'm sure she's referring to the mega people who are on Twitter now because of Elon Musk, who were reinstated, I'm sure.
The Washington Post did some incredible reporting. I bet you think they did some incredible reporting, Nicole. I bet you believe that. She is underrated.
That is false.
One of the most insufferable people on TV. She flies under the radar because she's not as loud and bombastic as some of the like other hosts, Joy Reid, some of the contributors, Rick Wilson, who are really just trying to cause controversy. But if you listen to what she's saying, it's pretty bad.
Well, I loved when she's like, I don't see why there's any reason to destroy something that people like and enjoy. I could think of a bunch of restaurant owners. I could think of a bunch of people who had small businesses. I could think of a bunch of people who like to go to businesses.
Yeah.
That might agree with that.
You know, I was listening, because sometimes I come in the morning, I listen to anything in the shows from yesterday that I missed. And Howie's last hour, he did, you know, Are the Movies Dead? And I'm paraphrasing the title of the podcast. But I was thinking about that the other day. Like, the movie industry in COVID, Jared just named a bunch of stuff that went under. Restaurants and all these, you know, fun recreational activities, concerts, everything came to a halt, weddings. And the movies really took a nosedive, and they haven't really recovered. There's been a couple of glimpses of hope, Top Gun, some movies like that, Spider-Man. But I was reading about it and how they had the worst Thanksgiving box office ever. Or I don't know if it was ever, but it was bad. It was really bad. And I started looking at the movies that were at the box office. And I thought, should we really be blaming, like, what's that expression? We're blaming the instrument. You know,
it's a poor craftsman who blames his tools.
Thank you, Jared. I'm looking at the movies. You're really on today, by the way. I'm looking at the movies and I'm going, is this really the movie industry? Like, is this, are we going to blame the movie theater and the popcorn machines and the seats and all that? Or are we going to blame the fact that I wouldn't, even if the movie industry had never taken a nosedive because of COVID, I still don't think I would go see these. They look like crap.
Yeah, I was on with Howie last night and the last hour. And yeah, the movies he was describing, which are like the big movies of 2022, sounded awful.
Awful. And so you can't say, oh, the movie industry, you know, people don't go to the cinema anymore. Well, is that the cinema's fault, or is that, you know, what's playing at the cinema? Maybe we got to do a little reflection here on what we're putting on the big screens. Because I'll go, if I have an excuse to go to the movies, if I want to see a movie, I'll get myself there. There's a good movie, Top Gun, I saw it in theaters. James Bond, saw it in theaters. But all these movies I saw over Thanksgiving, I was like, these look like they suck. I'd never even heard of them before. Inflation is at a 40-year high. Consumers are shopping early for deals this holiday season. You should be shopping early, too. You don't want to be at the mall the night before Christmas. You don't want to be putting things online and then realizing they're not going to be delivered till January 5th. That's what always happens to me. You want to get on this ahead of time, and we have a really great idea for you. If you're looking for a great product, if you're looking for a great gift, we have multiple, because the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier has a 3-pack deal running right now. And that means that you can give the gift of eliminating odor and giving fresh air to a friend, to a family member. This is a great device. I'm going to hold it up for the Rumble Cam. It's small, no filters required, no wires, no cords. It's easy to use. You plug it in and it starts purifying the air. And the great part about this, Jared, I think, with the 3-pack is you can get one for yourself to try it out. Then you can wrap the other two up. They come in very, you know, easy boxes. You wrap them up. And then when you get confronted by a generous gift giver at Christmas, you have a gift ready to go.
Yeah, and you can afford to do that because you saw Grace just holding it up. All you do is plug it into a wall so you can take it into different places in the house. If you're lucky enough to have three for yourself, you'd have one in the basement, one in your car, one somewhere else in the house. But you can keep one for yourself and give two away. It's a great way to give a gift because you give the gift of clean air, and that's what everybody wants.
Yeah, that's a great point, too, because sometimes you're giving gifts, pillows, sweaters, and people just go, what am I going to do with this? Just more stuff. This is actually something that's going to improve people's lives and that they can use right away. So all you have to do to get your hands on the 3-pack is go to EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE3. By the way, shipping is free, which is a nice perk added in. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Don't forget to use code GRACE3 at checkout. EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE3. We will be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. We still got a lot to get to. I'm going to play some SBF sound when we come back, and we're also going to go through and check in on some of our favorite cities. But before we get to any of that, I am thrilled to welcome on Dennis Swords from the Fallens Be In. For anyone who missed this announcement, on December 9th and 10th, we are having a Grace Curley listener getaway. We've done this before at the Fallens Be In in North Sutton, New Hampshire. The last time was a huge success and people loved it. We have a few rooms left. And Dennis, you have a lot planned for us, including a Saturday night dinner.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great weekend. People still talk about the weekend. You were here last time. It was a lot of fun. We're going to have a chicken and andouille sausage dinner Saturday night. And I've long told people around here that gumbo is just the best food in the world for a cold night. So we'll have the gumbo. We'll have fires going. And we'll sit around and eat and chat with fellow boomer rubes.
Yes, indeed. And Dennis, the Fallens Be In is really a special place. I can vouch for it, obviously, because I've been there quite a few times. My family goes there now. A lot of my friends go there. And it's just a beautiful spot to be. There's plenty to do. The guests can walk around, enjoy the foliage. They can also play games. We've got the fires going. You can, you know, if you want to sit outside on the porch and read, whatever you want to do, the Fallens Be In has that available. And also, just to get back to your cooking a little bit here, Dennis, you make an unbelievable breakfast, too.
Well, thank you. Yep, we're going to have the rooms, of course, come with breakfast. So that'll be breakfast Saturday and Sunday, as well as the dinner. So breakfast will hopefully be special. We're going to have, I think I'm going to have waffles, chicken and waffles on Sunday. So
I love that.
That's something I've been doing lately, and the guests seem to love the chicken and waffles.
So you just heard Dennis. He's doing breakfast on Saturday and Sunday, and he's also doing the dinner on Saturday. And again, this is an incredible deal. It's $215 per night, double occupancy plus tax, and it's a two-night minimum. You can also bring your favorite adult beverage. Like Dennis said, we had so much fun at the last listener getaway. We had to put it on pause because of COVID, but it's back now, and I still am in contact with people who made the trip last time, and We just had so many laughs. I hadn't laughed that hard in a really long time. So if you want to join us December 9th and 10th, there's a couple rooms left. You still have time. This is an incredible deal. Go to fallensbein.com. That's FOLLANSBEE.com. That's fallensbein.com. Dennis is going to make a gumbo dinner on Saturday. It will be followed by homemade desserts. Howie still talks about the breakfast, the tapioca pudding, the granola, everything. So, Dennis, we cannot wait to see you, and I really look forward to seeing all the listeners there as well.
All right. Well, thank you, Grace. And I have rooms starting at 215, all rooms are unique. They all have their own private bathroom, so the price is a range. So rooms left are from $215 to $300, which is a good price considering you get all the meals and time with Grace.
Absolutely. And it's a really, really beautiful spot. And I think people are going to love it. And I have to add one more thing in. When you go to the Fallens Be In, it's one of those places that you're going to feel a real connection to, and you're probably going to go back a couple of times more after that, because my parents call me up every year now and they say, when are you going to the Fallens Be In? Where we want to get our friends to go, and they've brought friends there. It's just a really special place, and I want to share it with you. So go to fallensbein.com. That's fallensbein.com. Like I said, handful of rooms left. You still have time, but get on this now because it fills up quickly. That's fallensbein.com. Dennis Swords, I cannot wait to see you, and thank you again for putting on this special weekend.
Well, thank you, Grace. We're really looking forward to it.
When we come back, we are going to talk about a couple different things, but I have an idea regarding Sam Bankman-Fried. And, you know, he keeps saying he's really sorry, he feels really bad. The whole FTX disaster has been a very humbling experience for him, which is all great, good to know. But I'm noticing the interviews, they lack a little bit of passion. You know, they lack a little bit of edge. And I have, I think, a tip that could go a long way. So if you want to hear that, if you want to weigh in, The number is 844-500-4242, and we will be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. There was a video of Joe Biden leaving the podium. I never understand why they do this. There's a lot of things I don't understand when it comes to Joe Biden, but this is up there. And this really falls more on his staffers, the girls who are in the room going, thank you, keep it moving, please. Thank you, Peter. Press conference over. Thank you. They always give him a mic at the podium. It's like a stationary mic that's set up. And then they give him a handheld mic. And I guess it's because he likes to wander. The dude loves to wander. But my thought process would be, he wanders around shaking hands with ghosts. We got to keep him at the podium. Let's not give him the handheld mic. And then he'll be forced to stay at the podium. But maybe they think he'll just wander and then start talking without a microphone. Maybe that's the thought process. Anyway, though, he wanders off the stage with the microphone in hand. He takes it from the podium and leaves. This was all at the Christmas tree lighting. Another question I have, and this is less...
Are there any nurses in the room?
This is a little less important, maybe to some of you. LL Cool J. He had this gig last year, and it was just as awkward last year. I can't remember the specifics of it. I'm not going to bore people with why, but I think it was like the tree wouldn't light up, or they kept introducing Joe and he wasn't there. There was some
That's what it was. LL Cool J had to vamp for like 10 minutes.
Which,
when they were trying to find,
I don't think it was very good vamping either.
Joe. No, he, I think he tried to dance, maybe.
You know, it's very rare, Jared, that someone has to vamp and they actually do a good job of it. I will tell you that much. Yeah, so it was not good. It was giving off Macy's Day Parade, Joe Biden call-in vibes, like someone had not done the work to get this to flow smoothly. But at this one, LL Cool J's lighting the tree again, and I guess my question is, term limits, you know? When, and I don't have a problem with LL. Ladies love Cool J. But why, who decided that this is his job from now on? He's in Blue Bloods, I think. Is that the show he's in?
He was in NCIS Los Angeles, last I heard, but I don't know if that show's still going or not.
You know, maybe it's that no one else wants to do the job. That could very well be the reason behind it. But if anyone has an answer for me, as you know, who voted LL Cool J king of the Christmas tree lightings, I would like to know. And I'm cool with it if he's going to be the guy lighting the tree. I just want to know why. Does he have a special connection with the Bidens? Do him and Joe go way back? These are the kind of hard-hitting questions that you are only going to get at the Grace Curley Show. Now, speaking of hard-hitting questions, there were no hard-hitting questions when it comes to SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried. And he had two different interviews, Jared. The first one, I understand, was with George Stephanopoulos from ABC. Let's play a couple of these cuts here. I want to start with cut 11, please.
A lot of people look at you and see Bernie Madoff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's who I am at all, but I understand why they're saying that. People lost money, and people lost a lot of money. And, I mean, at the end of the day, look, there's a question of what happened and why and who did what caused the meltdown. And I think that is reads very differently, right? When you look at the classic Bernie Madoff story, there was no real business there. The whole thing, as I understand it, I think was just one big Ponzi scheme, right?
Right.
FTX, that was a real business.
Right. Well, that kind of remains to be seen. I think we'll be the judge of that. I think actually the judge will probably be the judge of that. I don't know if your word for it is going to count. And, you know, my mom's listening to the show right now. She's on a little road trip with my dad. And mom, if you're tuned in right about now, I'm going to give you a shout out because you know what my mom's least favorite? I don't even know if you call it an expression, but, you know, turn of phrases. End of the day. At the end of the day. She hates when people say that. At the end of the day. And now as I get older, I'm understanding why. Because usually if you're saying at the end of the day, you're spinning some sort of crap. At the end of the day, it is what it is. What's done has been done. There's not much we can do. No, these are not answers, SBF. Come on. I guess he hasn't had to answer to anyone for quite some time, but he's really not polished at this at all. All right, so he says he's different from Bernie Madoff because Bernie Madoff didn't have a real business like FTX. Well, they certainly spent like they had a real business. I don't know what I don't know if it was a real business, according to what I've been reading.
Bernie Madoff was money. We were crypto. It's different.
It's so different. Anyone with any knowledge of it could tell that this is different. I also want to play Cut 12 because he does have a little bit of self-awareness. He understands where he might have got a little ahead of his skis. Cut 12.
Now, you said one of your great talents in a podcast was managing risk.
That's right. And
well, it's obviously wrong.
Well, I think that there is something maybe even deeper wrong there, which was I wasn't even trying. Like, I wasn't spending any time or effort trying to manage risk on FTX. And that obviously...
That's a stunning admission.
What?
That's a pretty stunning admission.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, what happened, happened. And, like, if I had been spending an hour a day...
Another one, what happened, happened. You know, this might work on ABC. I don't know if this is going to hold up in a court of law. I don't think all of these phrases, these expressions, at the end of the day, what happened, happened. It is what it is. I think we're going to need to get a little bit more into the nitty gritty. And I don't expect that from George Stephanopoulos. Lord knows I don't expect anything from him. But I hope that Sam Bankman-Fried doesn't think these answers are going to cut it. They don't pass the smell test at all. All right, let's hear the end of it.
I don't know what to say. Like, what happened, happened. And, like, if I had been spending an hour a day thinking about risk management on FTX, I don't think that would have happened. I think I stopped working as hard for a bit. You know, honestly, if I look back on myself, I think I got a little cocky.
The amount of times he says I in these cuts automatically would turn me off from investing with him.
Yeah, that's just one of the many things I think would...
And I know, I see things differently. I'm sorry.
I think there's plenty that would make me go, I don't think I want to invest with you. You don't sound like you're even on this planet right now. But beyond that, there's a few other parts of that I find interesting. I got a little cocky. He's acting like this is an 80s movie where he got a makeover and hung out with the cool kids and now has gone back to his first group of friends and said, listen, guys, I know I kind of forgot who I was for a little bit. No, you lost billions of dollars, bro. This is a little bit more serious than that. And I just can't believe that he thinks this is all going to fly. Okay, now, the second part of this, Jared, I don't really understand. You're going to have to explain this to me. This is New York Times deal book. What is that? Is that an interview? Is that a podcast? We have all these cuts with SBF. It's Andrew Ross Sorkin. Well, you know what? We have the sound. We said who it is. It doesn't matter who exactly the podcast is or whatever. But it's New York Times deal book. Now, the one I want to play here...
Oh, deal book is a New York Times venture that focuses on business and finance news.
Okay.
So it's like the New York Times division. They call it their deal book.
Okay, I got it. Let's do cut... Actually, I'm sorry I had you explain that because I want to go back to George Steffi here. Can I get cut 13? This is the last one I want to play because then I have an idea.
I, you know, to my knowledge, I have basically nothing left. You know, basically everything I had was invested in the business. I expect I'm going to have nothing at the end of this. I think I had $100,000 left in my bank account last I checked. And I think I have, you know, one credit card working with that right now.
Earlier this summer, you thought you had, what, $32 billion?
Probably 20, but a whole lot more than I do now.
I can't imagine what it feels like to go from $20 billion to $100,000.
Yeah. It's been a really humbling fall in a lot of ways.
You know what I think would make it even more humbling? If this boy genius wunderkind ended up in an orange jumpsuit, that would be the most humbling thing of them all, don't you think? He says he got a little cocky. I would have to agree. I just have an idea here, though, because when you listen to George Stephanopoulos, it's amazing. You know, they don't grill SBF like they grilled Donald Trump. I can tell you that right now. They don't grill SBF like they would grill any Republican who didn't break the law. And, you know, who knows? We haven't gone all the details yet on SBF, but definitely seems allegedly like there's been some illegal happenings here, but he's getting a very kind treatment from George Stephanopoulos. And I start to think about it. How could we fix this? You know, who could we bring in to interview this brilliant, woke, beanie bag sitting, video game playing genius? And then it hit me, Jared. We got to get somebody who lost. And here's the bottom line. If you lost $10 million with this guy, I want to see you sit down with him. I want to see you across the table. I think someone who lost $10 million of their own money, of their money, would do a really good interview with this humbled, formerly cocky cryptocurrency whiz kid. And by the way, the whole thing about, you know, I was a little cocky. You know why he was a little cocky? Because he was being put on all these magazines by Forbes, and he was being called the next Warren Buffett, and the liberal media could not kiss up to this guy enough. They could not fawn over him enough. No wonder he got cocky. But let's have someone who lost money get in a room with this guy and ask him the questions, and let's record it. Because we know these journalists are going to do diddly squat. So I want someone who has a little skin in the game to sit with SBF and say, yeah, I got some questions. I got some questions. And I don't think if that person sat across from SBF and he started saying, well, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I don't know if the $10 million down the tubes person would be as kind as George is being. Okay, really quickly here, Jared, we got to run through these really quick. I want to do kind of a little check-in on some of our favorite cities. Let's start with L.A., please. The Los Angeles County District's Attorney's Office has taken an interest in a case in which singer John Legend, who's also a big fan of George Gascon, almost had his luxury car stolen. So they are taking a special interest in a case, not where his Porsche was actually stolen, but it was almost stolen. And so that was enough for, in a Wednesday email to prosecutors, John Harlan, who's the DA's acting head deputy, said he wanted to be kept in the loop about the case. News outlets are reporting that an unnamed person was arrested for attempting to steal John Legend's Porsche somewhere in Los Angeles. Case potentially due today. Please be on the lookout for this case. When it comes to cases of people being murdered and, you know, all that stuff, that doesn't get as much attention. But because it's John Legend, he almost had his Porsche stolen and he's a big supporter of George Gascon, naturally, we got to be kept abreast of the situation if you're at the LA County DA. Next up, and I would spend more time on it, but we're running against the clock here. Next up, we have the Big Apple, baby. NYC.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
All right, first one up. NYPD workers among 17 NYC employees that are busted in a $1.5 million COVID relief scam. In the main alleged scheme, ringleader Rodney Smith is accused of conspiring to file fraudulent applications through the SBA program in 2020. In separate complaints, 10 others were charged, including 3 Department of Education workers, 2 NYPD employees, a City Department of Transportation worker, an employee of the Administration of Children's Services, and 1 current and former Department of Corrections employee. Some applicants falsely claimed to have employees, then used the revenues for stock investments and luxury clothing items. And that's not all. That's not all that's happening in NYC. Eric Adams is hiring a well-paid rodent czar to drive out pests. We've been talking about this rat problem that is plaguing NYC. I don't think it's new, but Eric Adams is very, very intent on getting rid of it. And he's looking for a top-notch exterminator. And if you want the job, and if you get it, you might get paid anywhere between $120,000 and $170,000 a year. That's a lot of dough for killing some rats. Okay, next up, we have Chicago.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
This cut is a few days old, Chicago, but I just remembered today that I forgot to play it. Mayor Lori Lightfoot never ceases to amaze. She's either, you know, virtue signaling on Twitter, or she's making TikToks, she's singing karaoke, or she's getting her hair cut while all the rest of the people in Chicago aren't allowed to go to barbershops. So let's take a listen to Lori Lightfoot, whose campaign, they're really trying to tell people that Lori Lightfoot is your only option.
Reach voters all across the city to remind them not only what we've done over the last 3.5 years, but what our vision is for the next 4 and why the only rational choice is to return me to office.
If you look at the amount of people that are shot in Chicago every weekend and you think the only rational choice is to return Lori Lightfoot to office, then you, my friend, are probably watching Janet Yellen on Stephen Colbert. That's how rational I think you are. 844-500-4242. All right, we did a nice little round the world there. And we're also going to ask you about the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. Ocean view rooms are priced from $119.99 during the week and $149.99 a night on weekends through March. So book online at nausetbeachinn.com. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you believe climate change / global warming is real?
Yes. I don't think all the things that we're doing and all the ways we're shooting our own foot are appropriate or helpful, but I do think it's real.
91% say no, it is not real, and only 9% say yes.
All right, when we come back, we'll be talking we'll be talking about the captain. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is now time for the car crossover. Howie, we talked yesterday about the impending CNN layoffs, but we haven't heard much about it. You've had the night to think it over. Who do you think's on the chopping block?
They're saying that none of the big names are on the chopping block, but that's going to be my poll question, is who would you like to see go? I think it'll be a barn burner, because I got a lot of good names on the list. I got all the good names on the list.
Can you give us a little tease as to what?
Well, Tapper, Acosta, Allison Camerata, Don Limon, Anderson Cooper. Have I missed any? If I've missed any, we probably got room for one or two more. John Berman, he's kind of underrated in terms of being a real bodily orifice.
Yeah, those are all really good picks. I think people are going to have a hard time deciding when all of the picks are so delicious.
Only one. The mailroom manager already said, can I vote for two? Only one.
Howie, we saw yesterday that KJP and Peter Ducey were going back and forth on Biden visiting the border. She said he had visited the border. He hasn't. So is lying now just the new way of the Biden administration? I know they've been doing that since the beginning, but it really seems more blatant now than ever.
When I left the Super Bowl in 1986, the Patriots were playing the Bears. I had to fly to Houston before I could fly back to Boston. So I guess by KJP and Biden standards, I've been to the border too, because I went to Houston. If you've even been in the Panhandle, if you've ever been to the Big D, you've been to the border as far as they're concerned, right?
Yeah, I think that is the new standard. Howie Carr is coming up next. You don't want to miss his show. And we will be back tomorrow for a very exciting Friday program. Thank you all so much for joining us. See you then.